the education issues that matter most to you. It's After School with Dr. Watlington, only on KYW News Radio.
I'm Mike DiNardo. Dr. Watlington, let's get right to it. There are still reverberations from the facilities plan that was passed by the school board. What happens here now for the schools that are closing and merging? When does the transition begin?
Just a reminder, there are no immediate impacts in school year 26-27, the upcoming school year. We built in a full planning year so that we can do this work thoughtfully, strategically, and to do it well. In the coming weeks, we will formalize members of a transition office that will have a direct connection with me and district leadership so that we can make sure that there's a one-stop shop for any needs that parents and children have, as well as impacted school staff. More to come on that. Right now, the focus is to stay laser-like focused on the testing season. We began PSSA testing in grades 3 through 8 on April 20th, and we will continue with the Keystone High School testing through May 22nd. Once we get finished with testing, we'll jump right into more communications about transition office and our next steps.
In the meantime, how do you get staff to buy in? I can imagine teachers and staff at schools that are closing may decide this is not for me. I want something more stable. I want something more long-term. How do you get staff at those schools to remain committed to the final year and beyond?
We've been making the case that, you know, the superintendent, the district staff at the Dr. Clayton Center, and school leaders and staff and support staff are fully committed to serving our children and their families. And as such, I think we have a commitment to see this through to a conclusion. So schools that are closing, we are working with school staffs to strongly encourage them to not abandon ship, to know that there's a place for you. Even when schools close, we've been very strategic in this facility's master modernization plan. We will not lay off teachers and leaders and support staff as a result of this facility's plan, unlike the case in 2012-13. In fact, that's where most of the savings came from in the last round of school closures was from laying off people. To the contrary, we are reinvesting these staff members and the lion's share of the budgets into schools, in particular, into students who have some of the lowest performing outcomes, because we believe that is what the true definition of equity is. Some kids need more, and some things need different things, and we're going to provide our kids with that.
What does that look like? How do you maintain, how do you support academic performance at those schools, especially in the mind of a student who may think, well, I'm not going to be here with all my friends next year?
This is all about getting better. And sometimes we have to learn from sacrifice. We have to work through adversity. And I think there's an additional lesson here, in addition to what I like to talk about in terms of using the resources more efficiently. There's the human element to show care and sensitivity. Let me be clear. If my child was in this position, or if I were a staff member, you know, I'd be looking a little salty and sideways too. Let me be really clear about that. And so I understand it, and that's why we're trying to take our time to be very thoughtful about how we staff up a transition plan. And we want to do everything we can to retain our young people and their families. Over the long term, these decisions, though, will make our school district stronger and more competitive and more viable.
On another matter, at the Mayor's State of the Schools event in the winter, you hinted at a faith-based partnership summit. What is the status of that? What would the partnership that you hope to form, what would that look like?
Interestingly, last week we held our inaugural Faith-Based Leader Summit, and I was so pleased to see so many faith leaders from across the city of Philadelphia. They came together with members of our school board, district staff, and the Network Learning Assistant Superintendents for two reasons. Number one, we wanted to get to know each other together because we want to be equal partners, not just to bring people in and give them information about the school district and say, it was nice to see you again in the fall. And number two, we've asked our faith leaders to be our partners in helping us to work with families and communities to increase regular student attendance. Regular student attendance is defined as our children coming to school 90% of the month, 90% of the school year. Because our internal data shows that if kids come to school regularly 90% of the month and school year, they're going to learn more. You know, 4 years ago, 82% of children across Pennsylvania came to school 90% of the month. In Philadelphia, only 59% of students were coming to school. Now, we've increased that to the low, and you know, we're banking on the mid-60s now, but we need to get well over 80% of our kids in school 90% of the month, 90% of the year. And I am sure proud of our faith leaders and our district leaders for coming together and agreeing to, A, get acquainted, and to, B, roll up our sleeves together and to work on this problem and to make it better for kids.
If a student who may have trouble getting to school hears that message 5 days a week, you want them to hear it on Sunday as well from the pastor.
We'd like them to hear it on Saturday and Sunday. And if you grew up in the South like me, maybe on Wednesday night and a lot of other times during the week.
Also this week, Dr. Watlington, you officially renamed 440 North Broad Street, the school district headquarters, as the Constance E. Clayton Education Center. You got to know her a little bit on your arrival here. What does this mean to you, and what does this mean for school leadership?
I'm really pleased that earlier today, we were able to rename the 440 headquarters officially the Dr. Constance E. Clayton Education Center. And what a befitting tribute. You know, I got to know Dr. Clayton really well, not just kind of, but really well. In fact, let me just tell you quickly that the week before her death, Dr. Clayton and I had a conversation about some things she wanted to talk with me about in our regularly scheduled lunch meeting the following week. And one of the things that she was very interested in was, she said, Dr. Watlington, young man, we've got to do more for our young people when they're outside of school. Schools have a role in this. And so I just think it is so ironic that Mayor Parker's Extended Day, Extended Year initiative is resulting in higher attendance in the schools that are piloting Extended Day, Extended Year. Our young people are getting those enriching opportunities that they normally wouldn't have, whether it's taking field trips, learning to play chess, going down to the shore. I think Dr. Clayton would be really pleased with that kind of progress because that was important to her. She told me herself. When I think about the premier urban school superintendent across the country who shattered every glass ceiling and became the first African-American superintendent of the School District of Philadelphia and the first female superintendent of the School District of Philadelphia, which I think at that time was the fourth largest school district in the country with nearly 265,000 children and district-operated schools. She did a fantastic job. She balanced the budget. She improved the curriculum, and she just inspired generations of people. And so I'm so happy that we were able to not only name the district office after her, but also work with Councilmember Jeffrey Young's district office to rename Buttonwood Street beside the building. And then finally, I want to invite you to come in and take a look at those very fine murals that are displayed very prominently in the lobby as you walk into the Dr. Clayton Center. Great, great week for Philadelphia.
Certainly is, and we'll get the word out for you. As always, I appreciate the time. Thank you. If you, the listener, have a question for the superintendent, feel free to contact us at afterschool@kywnewsradio.com. And if you want to listen live to the program, tune in Wednesdays at 3:45 p.m. on 103.9 FM.